This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
One of the most significant archaeological discoveries of the last century were two silver amulet scrolls. Written on them were the earliest biblical texts ever discovered through archaeology, dating to 600 BC, the priestly blessing of Numbers 6:24-26. The scrolls were found at a site overlooking the old city of Jerusalem in a dig directed by Gabriel Barkai. Gabriel Barkai passed away just a few days ago in Jerusalem. He was not only a towering figure in his generation of archaeologists, he was also the first archaeologist ever interviewed on this program, 42 years ago. I dug into the archives, and in his honor, we are presenting that program once again, discussing the remarkable excavation at a site called Ketef Hinnom, where the silver amulet scrolls were found.
This is an area which is right west of the historical city of Jerusalem, in the middle of town today. If you say outside Jerusalem, it's outside the historical city of Jerusalem, but today it is in the middle of town. It is just opposite the railway station of Jerusalem, on a hill which is covered by some buildings, among them the Consulate of the United Kingdom in Jerusalem, as well as the Scottish Presbyterian St. Andrew's Church. Now, the place itself is on the watershed line, which separates between the two drainage basins, one of the Mediterranean, the other one of the Dead Sea. That hill is one of the most beautiful places of Jerusalem. It looks over to the old city with its Turkish wall, to Mount Zion, to Siloam village, the range of Mount of Olives, and mainly to the Valley of Hinnom. I call that hill the Shoulder of Hinnom, and probably this is the place where that very interesting hesitation took place, which is mentioned in the 19th chapter of the book of Judges, when the Levite came with his concubine from his father-in-law's house in the city of Bethlehem. They were hesitating whether to leave the road to go right, that is to say east to the city of Jerusalem, or to continue on the same main track and go further north. They decided to go further north, and the rest of the story is there in the little black book that we have at home.
As I remember reading about your work there, I remember the article mentioned the beautiful view that the workers do have of the old city area there.
The view is sometimes breathtaking. In that spot, we had also the very rare opportunity, something which doesn't happen every day. We worked around the clock. That was because of certain developments in the work that we couldn't leave the site and we had to finish things. And we worked for almost a week around the clock. We have photographs of the landscape opposite the excavation on all hours of the day. It's a magnificent view. 2 o'clock at night, Mount Zion opposite is beautifully illuminated. The walls of the old city, the Turkish walls, are illuminated. It looks as if a dream. It's a really a magnificent view. That's one of the best places of Jerusalem. I chose that place mainly because there were certain hopes that we'll have there a concentration of extramural activities, things which take place next to a city, immediately next to it, but not within it. This type of activities is agricultural activity, roads, military forts, sometimes holy places, places of cult, sometimes quarrying, sometimes burial fields, etc. This was the main aim. And when I surveyed the place, I discovered that people in antiquity, they cherished the values of the place, and not only nowadays. It is exactly the same. In antiquity, it had a strategic importance. The place has also strategic importance today. That hill had the camp of Pompey. When he conquered Jerusalem in 63 BC, it had the encampment of Titus in 70 AD, and it had the camp of General Allenby in 1917. So this continuous military activity is a hint to the strategic importance of the place. We have also continuous church activity. There is the church which I excavated, a Byzantine period church, and next to it there is the modern church which was built in the 20s, the Presbyterian Church of Scotland. So there is a certain pattern of continuity, something which is very clear. This is, I think, a lesson to all of us archaeologists, that the best thing to do discoveries is very simply to try and put ourselves into the shoes of people in antiquity and try to see where would they put all kinds of functions, and we'll have to follow that logic.
That's an interesting concept. I know in my own mind, sometime not too long ago when I was traveling and entering a city which I didn't know, looking for a gas station, I just tried to picture a city that I was familiar with and where the gas stations were there, and go in this city where I thought the similar place would be. And so in archaeology, what you're saying is basically doing the same kind of thing.
More or less. There is, by the way, a gas station opposite the place. And I realize with my imagination that the Levite coming from Bethlehem with his donkeys, we have two donkeys mentioned there in the story, and with his servant and concubine, they stop next to the railway station, next to the gas station there, in order to hesitate whether to go into the city of the Jebusites, which is opposite the road, or not. That is really how I try actually to have a concept of antiquity, via looking at the topography and trying to see what would I do if I was living in that time, where would I locate certain functions of the city.
Now, you say you did this. Do you think it's common for archaeologists? Is this a common practice? You talk almost like that a lot of archaeologists don't think in these terms.
It's difficult to tell. I think that many of them think this way, but they didn't put it in words like this. They maybe follow the same principle without giving themselves a report that this is the way how they do it.
Mm-hmm. How long ago did you start digging at this location?
This site was dug for three seasons, since 1975 and on. The dig was under the auspices of Tel Aviv University, Institute of Archaeology, and the Israel Exploration Society, with help of different bodies. Mainly, we got very nice help and cooperation of the students of the American Institute of Holy Land Studies in Jerusalem, where I happen to be a teacher for the last 9 years.
Maybe I can inject here. This is an evangelical school that has been established and is located on Mount Zion, and some of the people listening may have young people who might be interested in going there someday to study.
A brief interjection by my longtime co-host, Professor Keith Scoville, back in 1983 when we did this interview with Israeli archaeologist Gabriel Barkai on the shoulder of Hinnom excavation. The American Institute for Holy Land Studies is now known as Jerusalem University College. We continued the conversation discussing the challenges of excavating in Jerusalem.
Look, excavating in Jerusalem is not a simple matter. This is the only place among the cities of Old Testament times where we have a modern, densely built up and very much alive and densely populated city on top of the ancient site. Unlike Hazor or Megiddo or Lachish or Beth She'an or Beth Shemesh or Gezer or Aphek, these places are just open mounds waiting for the archaeologist's spade. Jerusalem is very densely active with modern activities, and of course there are problems. And not only that, in Jerusalem you have religious sensibility, a political sensibility, much of the land ownership is very complicated. I would compare Jerusalem to a large cauldron which is full of many spoons. Everybody wants to stir the inside that stew named Jerusalem and to taste something of it. Whenever an archaeological excavation starts in Jerusalem, you have a whole procession of all kinds of beards, all kinds of garments, all kinds of officials, representatives, lawyers, governmental people. It's very complicated, but nevertheless, it is very interesting, never dull moment in archaeology of Jerusalem. It was not a problem to get the license from the governmental department of antiquities, because he who has the proof that he has the credentials and he has the finances to do the dig, then he gets the license. The problem is to get the landowners agree and to get the neighbors agree and to keep off all the people who come to look and try to disturb. And always there are people who do not like the work of the archaeologist. There are people who oppose it.
You mentioned the church that is today located there. What else is there?
The hill is surrounded today mainly by parks. North of it is the Bloomfield Park, and east of it is a national park which goes down into the Valley of Hinnom. West of it is the American Liberty Bell Park, where the city of Jerusalem commemorated the bicentennial anniversary of the United States. Mainly parks, but there are some hotels. The very famous King David Hotel is 5 minutes walk, but there are also residential areas quite close. The whole city of Jerusalem is more condensed than you are used to see the American cities.
Was there anything then in particular that you were looking for? You mentioned that you felt this would be a very interesting area to dig in.
Yes, but first of all, I have to say that in archaeology we are not looking for something. We usually have a problem, and we try via choosing a place, we hope to get an answer to that. We are not going to excavate something, because if we know that that something is there, why to excavate? If you know that it is there, that is also a biased approach. If we go to excavate something and something else turns up, I'll be still convinced that what I excavated is what I wanted to find, and that is a preconception which is not a welcomed attitude in archaeology. I would say that in the surveys which we had on the site, we had pottery on the surface, scattered pottery of different periods, which hinted to the existence of some activity there in certain periods which interested me. The proportion of the pottery, the mathematical, statistical proportions of different periods hinted that I might have something of interest there. That was the first, I would say, catalysator to start the dig. In addition, of course, to the strategic and important geographical position of the hill opposite the city of Jerusalem.
Today, there's a little park with some historical signage marking the remains of the cave tombs where the silver amulet scrolls were found in 1979, located just behind Jerusalem's Menachem Begin Center and a stone's throw from the Dan Boutique Hotel, where we've stayed during some of our most recent trips to Israel. This interview goes back to 1984, one of about a dozen we've recorded with Gabriel Barkai during his visits to the U.S. He passed away just a few days ago, and his influential career was noted by many. He was not only a lecturer at Israel's Bar-Ilan University, he also taught at Jerusalem University College, where he influenced decades of evangelical Christian scholars and Bible students. Over the last two decades, he also helped lead the Temple Mount Sifting Project, which has been methodically going through the tons of dirt removed from the Temple Mount in 1999 without archaeological supervision. Though the dirt was originally treated as refuse, it has provided many discoveries which add to our knowledge of the history of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. We have links to more information about Gabby Barkai on our Book in the Spade Facebook page. We have a link on our website at radioscribe.com. We also have many other resources there, including breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority, information on our biblical archaeology news magazine, Artifacts, and information on our June 2026 trip to Turkey, where we will follow in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul visiting sites from Antioch to Ephesus. That's all at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book in the Spade.
The Book in the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.